Praise the Lord. The benefit of the church, of the cross. Psalm 103, from verse 1 to verse 6. He said, bless the Lord, oh my soul. See why you should praise God? And all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. And as you are enjoying and jumping up, he said, and forget not all his benefits. Remember his love towards you, who forgiveth all thy iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemed thy life from destruction, who crowned thee with loving kindnesses and tender mercies, who satisfied thy mouth with good things so that thy mouth is renewed, thy youth is renewed like the eagles. Hallelujah. Listen to verse 6. The Lord executed righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. Listen, church. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. One reason you will praise God and praise God, it's not just only, you don't praise God only because he has answered your prayer. One reason every true believer that has caught the revelation of redemption is that you praise God because your sins have been remitted. Why is he remitted? He's remitted and transferred you from judgment and brought you to God's mercy. We don't appreciate it because we have not imagined, caught a picture of what awaits those who hate God. And that's why we act and behave anyhow, even to one another. Hallelujah. Because when we talk, a lot of us, when you look at the way some of us behave, we look like foolish people. We are not foolish. We are not foolish. The day you catch a revelation of who your God is and what his plan for salvation is, you will see reason to serve this God for better, for worse. Yes. Apostle Paul also emphasized, he said, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither is it put in the heart of man what revealed to man what God has prepared for those who love his coming. That is for those who will follow him. And for those who hate him, knowing the terror of God, we persuade them. That's why we are preaching. That's why I am preaching now. I put this together by a knowledge of salvation. I'm not copying anything. The Lord inspired me. When he caused me to see what he did on the cross, the Lamb of God had taken away the sin of the world. Why is it so important for him to remove my sins? It's because certainly the soul that sinner shall die. I was condemned to die, and nothing will stop it. But instead of me to die, all that Jesus suffered on the cross, I was the one that was supposed to suffer it. He saved me. How can I catch that revelation and not appreciate God? Because many of us are so myopic about life. We don't see life beyond what our naked eyes see here, our physical senses touch here. It's difficult to believe that there is a world to come. It's difficult to believe that there is something better than what we are having now. And so much effort is put in acquiring things that will decay here. And so many efforts are put in making our lives better here. And we do that much effort even to the detriment of our souls. And that is why we miss it. And that's why Christianity has become what it is today. Which are the churches that you see people, you know, rushing to attend? There are churches that talk more about earthly things than heavenly things. What testimonies do we have more in Christendom today? It's the latest car I have bought. It's the latest houses I have built. That is what in the church celebration. Until even pastors shamelessly give testimony of material acquisition. As if that is what the ministry is supposed to achieve. The fivefold ministry. The blessing of a pastor is not in the big auditorium he has built, in the number of branches he has. The blessing of a pastor is determined by how many souls God converted under him. That is our joy of a true pastor. That's the truth. It's not on the size of your church, the size of your membership, the number of people that gather in your programs. It's how many of them, how many of them come to Christ? I went to Kirikiri prison with the prison ministers here. And they would have observed that I open up very freely with them. And I told them something. I said, when you are here, you fall under three groups inside this prison yard. The first group are those who come in here and they begin to form gang so that when they leave, they will now go and strike better than they did before they came back to prison. The second group that are sitting down here are those who are here every day crying and blaming them to me. I didn't do anything. I am innocent. Every day you are innocent. And then you are crying. I said the third group are those who seize the opportunity of the confinement to reflect on life. And that is the best group. Because I fell under that group. And I had the opportunity to reflect on life. And because I was going to reflect on life, I came among the Christian group who prayed for me without touching me inside prison here. And I was healed. And I asked them, what happened? You people prayed for me and I was healed. And they began to tell me who Jesus is by the power of the name of Jesus. Then I had time now to study, who is this Jesus? I began to now see, look at the life I live. How has it profited me? Why will you, brother and sister, live a life on earth here and you have no bearing? There is nothing you are walking towards that can help you in your life. All you think is life ends in getting a husband. Everything you are doing is husband. Until you come to church, it's in the church that you will be passing a brother. They are the ones that come to church with tight skirts. They are the ones. It is what all their vision ends. Their vision is to get a husband. They will do everything to attract man. Maybe the one. Let me show them that I have bum bum. And they tight it. Amen. See. Listen. There is no human being that does anything without a motive. That is why God looks at us. It is our motive He looks at. It's our motive that He looks at. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. It's our motive. You think it's a mistake that that girl dressed up, finished, and wore a cloth that will show part of her breast outside? You think it's a mistake? She finished dressing and she looked at the mirror. Yes. Yes. I was with my wife somewhere, forgotten where, and they were walking and passing some people with this high heel shoe. This high, you know, so I told my wife, I said, You mean these ladies, they are comfortable with that? You know, it's like stick. So how do they balance? I don't know. You know. I said, what is this? And you think that it is to increase their height? It's not to increase their height. If it is to increase their height, then it will be, you know, it is designed, it's supposed to reshape them when they are moving. Do you understand? You know, if you wear normal shoe, you will be like this. But the shape has to change. There's something they want you to see. Oh, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Listen, church. Amen. And they will do that inside church. We are there to come to a living church before a holy God. You will dress and dress sleeveless. Sleeveless. And come to church so that they will see your breast. All that you know, your mind is how to get what you are looking for here. All that your mind is how to make money. And you make the money at all cost. Because of what you know, the money, you will achieve with that money. But why are you not also doing everything to go to heaven at all cost? It's because you don't have a revelation what is ahead for us. Neither do you have a revelation what is reserved for the unbelievers. Neither do you have a revelation of what happened on the cross of Calvary. Upon this rock, I build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But remember, hallelujah, that we are saved by grace. That knowledge will help you appreciate God. Apostle Paul says so. We are saved by grace. And take note of something. Hallelujah. Sometimes we get stumbled because when we expect God to avenge for us, it seems as if God has left us in the hand of the enemy to torment us. Many of us sometimes come to that estate. Even Jesus said, Father, why have you forsaken me? Let me tell you. Amen. The longer God allows your enemy to torment you, he allows it because when his wrath will come, his wrath will come fully. They go to the promised land, and the Amorites will not allow the Israelites to enjoy peaceful, to live peacefully. And they were stumbled to, God, deal with these Amorites for us now. No peace since we came here. The Bible tells us that he, God, said he allowed the Amorites until the cup of their iniquity is full. And if you read the rest of the story, when their cup was full, even including their animals, they were all wiped away. Have this revelation. Nobody offends a true child of God and goes free. If they are still tormenting you, that witch, that your uncle, whoever he is, he's still disturbing you. God himself is the one. Allow him so that by the time you will finish with him, even you will beg God for mercy for that person. And this revelation therefore allows you to push ahead. And don't think that God has forsaken you. He has not forsaken you. He will never leave you in the hands of your enemies. And watch it. Despite all the enemy is doing against you, you are still alive. Somebody, they knock you off as if you will die. You still came back to life. They frustrated your education, but you are still alive. They collected all your father's property, but you are still alive. Hallelujah. It is because God is the one protecting you, allowing them. The day he will say, enough is enough, you will know that there is a God behind you. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Let me close on this note. Listen. Listen. God's wrath, listen very well, in fighting a battle for you, anybody that offends you, be sure that the wrath of God will come. But there is something that can stop God fighting your enemies. According to the Bible. Hallelujah. And that is in Proverbs chapter 24. Verse 17. See the way the Holy Spirit put it here. What did he say? Rejoice not when thy enemy falleth, and let not thy heart be glad when he stumbleth. The next verse. If you do that, lest the Lord see it, and it displease him, and he turn away his wrath from that person. Let me break it down. When you see God dealing with your enemy, he said, don't rejoice. Don't go there. Shall I tell you? Say, you see my God now in action. You see, say, you don't paralyze. You see now. You see, say, stroke don't come now. You see, say, you don't blind. Oh, yeah, now. Say, you say, you're strong. Say, you see my God. He said, if you do that, God will say, what will happen? I call you for this matter. Is that what I told you to do? Okay, because of it. Oh yeah, that eye will open. Oh yeah, stand. Oh yeah, continue. That's the Bible. Know how to walk with God. Huh? Does it mean I should not rejoice when my enemy, God is dealing with my enemy? I'm not saying that my prayer, my cry, now God, calm down my enemy. This is the approach. You will rejoice. The joy you are having is not the joy because he's suffering. The joy you will receive is because you are free from that person. Do you understand? It's because now, now I am free. Father, I thank you from the torment of this man. Not that you are rejoicing because he is suffering. They mean two different things. Because the Spirit of God is a spirit of love. And love is compassionate. And love will not see even the worst of your enemies in pains, and you will rejoice over it. You will pity him, you will not rejoice over it. But he's tormenting you. He has kept you in bondage. He has delayed your marriage. He has frustrated your finance. He has kept you in sickness. He has kept you in pains. But now the source is disconnected from you. You are rejoicing even with thanksgiving. It's different from going to yap the person. See, I told you, my God, you see yourself now. All your children, listen, one by one, only two don't die. Remaining two, then go die. See how God fights his battle. Praise the Lord. And listen. You know, somebody may have this question in your mind. Forgive and forget. Can I forget? Can I forgive and forget? No. There's nothing like forgive and forget. Even God does not forget. Do you remember that he remembered his sin that he has forgiven that man and came back again and said, pay all. He recalled his sin that he had forgiven that man in Matthew 18. God himself doesn't forget. Listen, hallelujah. The forgetfulness, we have a memory that I remember things does not make me a sinner. It is part of my history that I will always have. Amen. But what is it to forgive? What is unforgiveness? Unforgiveness is a state where you feel so hot by whosoever has offended you that you do something in retaliation. You doing something in retaliation includes refusing to talk to the person. That is the least. I beg, go your way, make I go my way. Because of what he did. You do something to get back at that person. The action, any action you do because of what that person did to you. What he did is a reference point for that negative thing you are doing towards that person, directly or indirectly. That is the state of unforgiveness. Now, unforgiveness is different from anger. When somebody is angry with you because you have offended him, anger is a natural defense mechanism in man. God put anger there as a means of defense. Even God himself gets angry. The only difference is, be ye angry and sin not. Praise the Lord. Anger, therefore, listen. Anger, when you wound someone, you carry a stone and you hit someone physically. There is no amount of you saying sorry, he says, I forgive you, that will stop the pain. It will take time to heal. You have hurt the heart of that person. And you want him to, because you can't say, I'm sorry. Some people say, I'm sorry now. I say, I'm sorry now. How long now? Since day before yesterday. I say, I'm sorry now. Small time you go say, you be Christian. I say, I'm sorry now. Forgive now. Well, you forgive and forget. Now, person, when they ask for forgiveness, be that too. Forgive and forget. I will always remember all the evil you did against me. I am a human being. But I will never use it and hurt you back. Get you across to you for it. So when you offend somebody and is angry, give the person time to be healed before you come again to continue relationship. Give the person time. You offended him. You've injured him. He's in the healing process. And he said you want to come and increase it. by more carnality. Anger is not unforgiveness. Unless through that anger, you do something that will hurt that person again. Praise the Lord. Finally, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21, 22, 23. Hallelujah. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21, 22, 23. This is what Peter admonishes all of us. For even hereunto were you called. See the type of call we have. Because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps. Who did no sin, neither was God found in his mouth. Who, when he was reviled not again, when he suffered, he threatened not, but did what? Committed himself to him that judged righteously. What you are supposed to do, hallelujah, whatever anybody does against you, take the person to the Lord and let go. Report the person to God, who is the judge of us all, and he knows how to pass his judgment. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Why must we therefore forgive? We must forgive because by forgiveness we shall conquer the enemy. Why must we forgive? Hallelujah. We don't forgive for God's sake. We forgive for our own sake. It is for our own benefit. It is more for our benefit than for the benefit of the person that has offended. Praise the Lord. When you forgive anybody, it's for your own good. Therefore, don't say, I forgive you for God's sake. Lie, lie. You are forgiven, it's for your own sake. Because you have more to benefit when you forgive. And when God begins to bring this type of revelation to us, it means some serious battle is ahead for some people. Serious trials, serious temptation, serious disappointment may be coming the way of us as a ministry or for us as individuals. Your working place and wherever else, whoever else you may be meeting. I pray that the Lord may give us a forgiving spirit in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Can we stand up? Hymn number 28. Before we sing hymn number 28, place your hand on your chest. Before we sing that song, place your hand on your chest as you stand up. Let's take this prayer first. Let there beauty of Jesus be seen in me. It's a prayer. All his wonderful passion and purity. Oh, hallelujah. more time. Oh, hallelujah. Jesus be seen. It's a prayer. It's a prayer. The Bible says without revelation it is impossible to please God. Listen, why I took so much time talking about, I preach some topics, take so much time. There are some virtues you acquire, Christian virtues you acquire, that it does not come by prayer, it comes by knowledge. It comes by knowledge, revelation. Nobody preached to me to stop smoking. When I was young, when I cough, I saw blood. Then I said, yeah, I will carry my hand, kill myself. From that day, I have not smoked again since 1979. I was not a Christian. I gave my life to Christ. 1989. This took place 1979. 1978. I was taking drug. What do you call it? Igbo? India hemp. The day I smoked and saw there, I saw myself walking in the air. Nobody preached to me. Nobody said anything. When I recovered from that experience, I said, now let me my mama get home. Now so, now madness had a mad soul. Which kind of nonsense be this? I carry all the Igbo where I get, flush it in the toilet, and swore I will never do it again. It's a revelation. I told you people something about knowledge. I told you one time. I said in a fuel station, somewhere up north, I said, I was buying fuel years ago. I said, a beggar came to my window. You know, that's give me for the prophet's sake. Before I help anybody, I go, before I give any offering, I go look. If you are complete, I'm not giving you anything. That's laziness. And then, so, I beg, get away from here. As the person left, a voice spoke to me and quoted scripture. He who stopped his ear to the cry of the wicked, he himself shall cry and not be heard. Hey! I jump out of the car. Kai! Zo! Carry your wahala. Go. I beg, take. He doesn't know why I call him. Knowledge. When that scripture was quoted to me, I have it underlined in my Bible. When that scripture was quoted to me, I don't need prayer. If a poor person comes to me and I help the person, is it the person I'm helping? I am positioning myself because I don't know tomorrow. It's an insurance. It's my own life insurance that they do when I help somebody. People don't know it. Hymn number 28. The only prayer you should pray. Fill my way every day with love. That's the prayer you should pray. Love. It's a prayer for everyone here. Everybody now.
Oh, let me walk blessed Lord in the way thou hast gone.
It's our prayer.
It is prayer to the land of the old. In each year, everywhere, to the south and the Lord.
Let me hear the brothers. Hallelujah, my brothers. Feel my way. Everybody now, everybody. Hallelujah.
Be my way every day. Be Lord.